We'll read these four verses responsively, taking note of the 32nd verse, the text verse. And may we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We're thankful especially right at this moment for your word. We're thankful that you gave it. We're thankful that you've preserved it. We're thankful that through the hearing of it, we're saved. And as we hear it now, help us to be refreshed and strengthened and challenged. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hear it. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? I call that the Bible's greatest prayer promise. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? We have one boy. I don't think I'd give him for you. I don't think. Now, I was thinking while the song was being sung with the choir. I know I'd die for my country. I know I'd die for this church. But I don't know whether I could give my boy or not. But if perchance I were to take my son and give him, let him die for you. And then you came and you started to take off his shirt, off his dead body. And I said, hold it, hold it, hold it. Don't touch that shirt. You said, well, I want his shirt. I'll guarantee you one thing. If I'll give you my boy, you can have his shirt. You can have his shoes. You can have his tie. You can have his coat. You can have his watch. You can have his ring. If I'll give him to you. And God said, I gave my boy for you. He said, do you mean I won't take care of you? He said, you mean, if I gave my boy, surely I'll give you anything you want. I want to speak a while on the proof of the love of God. Father, bless the message to our hearts. Help me this morning to be what my people need. Amen. Did you see it? Did you hear it? Don't just sit there. Think of it. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? We have discussed in these last five Sunday mornings the fact of the love of God, greatest fact known to man. God loves you. Revel in it. Bathe in it. Bask in its sunlight. Swim in its water. Enjoy the fact that God loves you. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. We have discussed not only the fact of the love of God, we've discussed the length of the love of God. It'll never stop. Things present nor things to come cannot separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have discussed the greatness of his love. Add together all the love that every husband ever had for a wife. Add to that all the love that every wife that's ever lived had for a husband. Add to that all the love that every sweetheart that's ever lived has had for a sweetheart. Add to that all the love that every fiancé who's ever lived has had for a fiancé. Add to that all the love that every dad who's ever lived has had for a son.
and add to that all the love that every mother who's ever lived has had for a son, and add to that all the love that every dad who's ever lived had for a daughter, and add to that all the love that every mother who's ever lived had for a daughter, and add to that all the love that every son that's ever lived had for his dad, and add to that all the love that every son that's ever lived had for his mother, and add to that all the love that every daughter who's ever lived had for his dad, and add to that all the love that every daughter who's ever lived had for her mother, and you'll just begin to describe the greatness of the love of God. O love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Now the proof. How do I know God loves me? I preached on it. For God so loved the world that he gave. You may give and not love, but you never love and not give. I said you may give and not love, and it's possible for a person to give and not love. But it's impossible, no way, for God so loved that he gave. There's no way to love without giving. And what did God give? How many times have I told you this? I thought this morning, early this morning, about 5 o'clock, I was thinking about that amazing story of Isaac, Abraham. And God came to Abraham and said, Isaac, said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, I want you to take him on a 3 days and 3 nights journey up to Mount Moriah, and I'll show you a place there where you're going to, oh, I want you to take him and take a sword and pierce his breast and take his life and offer him as a sacrifice like you'd offer an animal on the altar. Abraham took his only son Isaac, his son of promise. God had promised him to Abraham and Sarah. And when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, finally that boy came, and now it's only boy. Abraham goes to sleep that first night, or lies down, tries to sleep, and he reaches out and takes the sand of the desert of the Holy Land, and that desert sand trickles through his fingers. Abraham looks up and says, Dear God, you promised me that my seed would be for number as the grains of sand. And Lord, I'll understand this. I can't understand it. Now you want my boy. It took the second day's journey. Abraham looks up that next night to the stars in the sky, and as the eastern sky revealed millions of beautiful stars like heavenly chandeliers, Abraham says, Dear God, I'll understand this. I'll understand it. You promised me that as the stars in the heaven are, so would be my seed through this boy. And now you want my boy. I don't understand it. Oh, you give us Christians that though they don't understand what God asked for, who go ahead and give it anyway. You give me Christians that say, God, it's yours. I can't understand it, but it's yours. I can't realize it, but it's yours. You know the story. If you want to see the love of God, if you want the proof of the love of God, you look at this amazing scripture, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him freely give us all things? If you want to see the proof of God's love, you might go to heaven in the past, and you might see a parting. You might see our lovely Savior saying goodbye to His heavenly Father. They who had known fellowship in eternity past, they whose fellowship had not been broken for 1 second ever in all eternity. And now Jesus has to say goodbye, and His Father says goodbye to the Son. And now the light of heaven is turned off, and the fruit of heaven turns sour, and the fellowship that God had enjoyed with His Son is gone. I know something about parting. I remember that night when from the Union Station in Dallas, Texas, right in the heat of World War II, I said goodbye and went to the Army wondering if I'd ever come back. I know something about parting. I remember that day when my mother and daddy called me in the living room, and my mother said, Son, your daddy is going to leave us today. Drink and sin has taken your daddy from us, and he doesn't want to live with us anymore. I remember that day when I got on my knees and looked up and begged my daddy to stay home. And I said, Daddy, wouldn't you rather have me than a bottle of whiskey? And my daddy stepped over the weeping body of his son. I know something about parting. I remember a couple of years ago when Dave left to go to Texas to pastor. I remember when Brother Clarence Weller took me over to his house. And I hugged him goodbye. And for the first time, we won't live in the same town. For the first time, he's not a member of the church. His dad pastors. I know something about parting. Just a few days, Linda and Johnny are going out into the ministry, and they'll be saying goodbye to us and moving hundreds of miles away and probably within 7 or 8 days. I know something about parting. I remember when I felt my dad's face cold in death. I'll never forget. I reached down and kissed his brow and said goodbye to my daddy. I know something about parting. I remember when Becky went to Tennessee Temple College. There was no Hiles Anderson then. Of course, nobody goes to Tennessee Temple now, because when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part is done away. But we took her down, and I remember when I kissed her goodbye and left our oldest daughter in college. First time one of our children was not living at home. I know something about parting. I remember when I left 24 years ago this summer, I left a church that I loved like I love my own life. A church that I'd seen grow from 44 people, over 4,000 people in not quite 7 years. A church that I pastored, where I learned to preach and learned to pastor. Thought I'd spend the rest of my life there and turned and left the church. I know something about parting. Oh, but you add the sorrow I felt when I said goodbye to David. And you add the sorrow I'll feel when I say goodbye to Linda. And you add the sorrow I felt when I said goodbye to my daddy who left our home. You add to that the sorrow I felt when his face was cold in death. And you add to that the sorrow I felt when I said goodbye to going to the army. And you add to that the sorrow I felt when I left the church in Garland. And you add to that all the other sorrow. And you only have a thimble compared to the ocean of the heartbreak of God when he said goodbye to his son. Oh, God loves you. God loves you. How much does God love you? He spared not his own son. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine it? If you want to see how much God loves you, you might go to a hillside, that beautiful little garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, right across from the eastern gate of that lovely city, Jerusalem. That little city, it was flat, and God turned it sideways so you could see it from the Mount of Olives. Just across the Valley of Kidron there, you can see the Golden Gate. And just to the left, that Golden Gate, you can see the temple, the dome of the Mosque of Omar, which is on the old temple site where the temple is located. It's late at night. The birds are nestled in their nests, and they have fled to their tree limbs. And the foxes have scurried to their holes. And the people of Jerusalem are comfortably asleep in bed. And Jesus takes some palm branches or fig leaves and spreads those fig leaves on the rocks of the Mount of Olives, and tries to get his body comfortable as he sleeps. Neath the stars of the night walked the Savior of light in a garden of dew-laden breeze. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees knelt the Savior alone on his knees. Wait a minute. If you want to know how much God loves you, can you imagine how God felt every night that Jesus slept there on the rocky hill of Mount Olivet? Can you imagine? He who was preparing mansions in heaven for us, his own son. No place to lay his head. He loves you. He loves you. You say, prove it. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He loves you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, Brother John? Can you imagine letting Brother Jeff be taken? I'll guarantee you, if I ever give David to you, you mark it. Now I love you, God. The Vogel, can you imagine one of your children just take him and say, take his life! And here is the Father in heaven, who's even now preparing mansions for the redeemed, or already multitudes of people are there, and angels have their places, and seraphim and cherubim sing their songs in glory land. And now Jesus on the Mount of Olives, and the Father, who owns everything, looks down and sees his Son laying a few palm leaves and fig leaves on the rocks of Mount Olivet. If you want proof that God loves you, you might go to a garden. It's just outside the northern wall of the city. He's just about to be kissed by Judas, echoing in his mind, mine now, all the experiences of the upper room. His hands are still moist from bathing the disciples' feet. Maybe he's still girded with that towel with which he washed or dried their feet. He still hears the words, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He still hears those words. And just ahead, he knows what's ahead. The high priest, Pilate, and that cat of nine tails across his back 39 times, with those hunks of metal up and down, those nine whips on one handle. He knows that's just ahead. In just a few minutes, the kiss of one of his followers, Judas Iscariot, will be felt upon his brow. In just a few moments, he'll be sold for 30 paltry pieces of silver. In just a few moments, he'll go to Pilate, and on to Herod, and back to Pilate. In just a few moments, they'll stick him naked and beat his back. In just a few moments, he'll become sin. And God the Father could have said to angelic host in heaven, go down there and get him. I've never said this. Anywhere I've ever said it. When Dave Hiles became on our staff, I sat down and had a talk with him. And I said, now, son, you're on the staff here at First Baptist Church, and you have to understand something. Your daddy will not be able to defend you, because you're flesh and blood of mine. I've never told anybody this. You cuss Brother Colston, I'll punch you in the teeth. You cuss Brother Bullard, I'll cuss him with you. I'll defend him. But I said, now, son, you know that your dad can't defend you, because you're flesh of my flesh and blood of my blood and bone of my bone. And I said, now, son, whenever you have to fight some battles, and you will, because your name is Howard, you have to fight them by yourself. I don't know how God the Father could take it. Legions of angels at his disposal. He could have called 10,000 angels. But he didn't. The Father could have said, come, angels, go down and deliver him. But he couldn't. Why? He loved you. The only hope that you had to be saved and your sins to be forgiven, for you to go to heaven, hinged on the fact that God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, that he might with him freely give us all things. If you want to see the love of Christ, you might come to a courtroom or a hillside. But if you really want to see the love of Christ, you come to a hill. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. It's outside the northern wall of the city. There's a bus station across the street from it now. If you look carefully, you can see two sockets where it looks like the eyes of a person. If you look carefully, you can see a forehead right above those sockets. If you look carefully, you can see a place where there might be a nose and a mouth. Looks like the face of a man. I remember. I've been there twice. I remember how that first time I was there, you could walk up on top of Calvary. But the last time I took 64 of our people, you couldn't walk up on Calvary. It's a cemetery up there now. And so you couldn't walk up there on Calvary. But the only way you get up there is if you're going for a funeral. And I remember I said to our people, we can't get up there. They won't let us. So, and we're there. They don't have processional cars. They're processional bodies. They walk down the street to a funeral. I lined up our 64 people. We got our handkerchiefs out. Some of us put our hands over our hearts. And we walked up to the gate of the hill of Calvary. And the fellow looked and he saw us all lined up there. He thought it was a funeral. He opened the gate and let us right in. We walked up there. And that's sort of crooked. Yeah, I know. It helps to be crooked a little bit. But but if you want to see, if you really want to see the love of God, you go to that little hill outside the northern wall of the city. And you look up at it. There's no way to describe how it feels to go there. I remember I sang, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. There it is. I'd sung about it on a hill far away. I'd sung about it. And there it is. That's Calvary. If you want to see the love of God, you see God delivering up his own son. If you want proof that God loves you, you see him who spoke and stars danced across the heavens. You see him who was the author of that magnificent display of lightning and 4th of July fireworks Friday night here in our own area. If you want to see the love of God, you see him who spoke and the Rocky Mountains danced above the horizon and became like pyramids covered with whipped cream. If you want to see God's love, you see God hold up the worlds in space, and that God who is all-powerful stood there helpless and watched his son. And then when all of a sudden our sins are placed on him, the Father turned his back on him. There's a scripture I can't quite understand. I won't turn to it, but it's found in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 12. I can't quite understand it. It said it pleased the Father to bruise him. It pleased God that Jesus went to Calvary. It pleased God that his son died. It pleased God. And he turned his back on his son. Do you know why? Because that's the only way God could get you and me into heaven and still be just. You wonder? I remember over at St. Catherine's Hospital, about 21, 22 years ago, I guess, one beautiful sunny day, seeing a little mother who had been pregnant out of wedlock, rolled out of St. Catherine's Hospital in East Chicago with a little bundle in her arms, a little baby. The little baby's face was covered. The mother never saw it. And I remember how that a family from a distant state had flown to get that little baby. Could I ever forget seeing that little mother take her own baby and hand it to a stranger? I remember over in the hallway of our church many years ago, seeing a little mother come in and say, I think she was deaf if I remember correctly. She couldn't rear her two little boys. Two of the cutest little boys you ever saw. I think one was two. I think the other was four. I'm not sure. By the way, that little baby who was handed, given away by mother at St. Catherine's Hospital is now a student at Howells Anderson College. And I remember that mother coming in the office and saying, I can't support my children. Can you imagine it? And I remember that day when two of our couples came in the hallway. And I remember when that mother waved goodbye to those two boys and walked out of their life forever. Oh, not because she wanted to, but because she loved them so much, she had to do it. And I remember 2,000 years ago when God the Father took his own son and said, "World, you can have him. You can have him. I loved you. I loved you so much. You can have him." He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? If you want proof of his love, you'll find it at Calvary. Our Heavenly Father, I don't understand this. I don't comprehend it. It's far beyond me. I know it's true, but I don't know why. I accept it. I believe it. I don't understand it. There's something else, dear Lord, I don't understand either. How anybody could reject it. I don't understand that. That's beyond me. How anybody could reject that kind of love. I pray this morning that people shall accept it. Our heads are bowed.